What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
I'm Emily Elizabeth, and I'm the host of the What Fulfills You podcast, a show for and about individuals always seeking to be their best selves. On this show, we talk all about building the mindset, finding the right careers, creating meaningful relationships, and so much more. Welcome to the What Fulfills You podcast. Hello, hello, friends. Happy Tuesday. Welcome back to your weekly dose of What Fulfills You. My name is Emily Elizabeth. I'm your host. And today's solo episode is going to cover what I'm calling a mini life guide from yours truly on career, personal finance, friendships, and romance. And obviously prefacing, this is everything I've learned in my own personal experience. Sitting here at the age of 27, I was about to say 26, but I did just turn 27, and nuggets that I've learned from other people along the way, and more often than not, I've heard it more than once, so that's why I've included it here. It's probably something I apply in my own life, and I think is worthwhile for you guys to hear. And also, as I'm sharing this, I am thinking of my younger self, and for those of you who I've personally connected with, off the podcast, whether just through DMs or I might have ran into you in New York or had a coffee with you, I take this into consideration. I know everyone in their 20s is always at a different place. I know that when I was 22 or 23 out of college, I might have been more quote unquote in a place that a 26-year-old was in terms of maybe my career stability and like confidence and awareness in that area, and then like was behind on other things, you know what I mean? So I am very cognizant of that when I'm sharing this, and so this is just in general for those of you who are just in your 20s. You could be also in your late teens, maybe you're super developed, and hope this is helpful. So with that being said, I'm going to dive into the first one, which is around career. And my biggest tip on career and everything around it is just figure out your direction sooner than later. I actually recently gave a keynote on this at my high school in Pennsylvania, and shout out to you guys if any of you happen to be from BC. Hello, hello. You know, I notice that a lot of people get in their own heads about being very specific, like, oh, I want to be an accountant, or I think I want to be a lawyer, or I think I want to become a psychologist. And it's always the what. We're always describing the what we're going to do, or I'm going to work on Wall Street, or I'm going to work in finance. But sometimes that actually causes a lot of stress on us because we say these things and then we don't actually understand why we're saying these things. We don't understand why we want to go into accounting, right? So when I talk about direction, I really mean to, especially if you're in your early 20s, use this time to narrow down what you like and what you don't like. And this is often only found through trial and error. So if you're in college, you can do this through internships. You can do this through part-time jobs. I personally did that. I was coaching part-time the entire 4 years of college. I was also doing an internship my final year of college at a boutique marketing agency, which kind of plays a role in my own marketing agency today. But doing so allowed me to narrow down, okay, so I like fast pace. I knew I wanted remote, but I didn't like remote in that kind of industry. I loved working in sales only because of the people I got to work with, but had I been on another team, I wouldn't have loved it. So these things I was able to narrow down by the time I was 23 or 24. And that also means embrace it if you are in an internship that you don't enjoy. Please keep in mind that that's a positive thing for you, meaning that A, you're learning in the real world. You're not going to love every single job or role you have. But number two, you can take that into your data, right? Of like, okay, this is what I liked. This is what I didn't like. Maybe you like a small team. Maybe you like a big team. Maybe you like that corporate setting. Maybe you like a startup setting, right? Try those things. And for example, if it's an area that you do like, let's say you do like a startup area, right? Okay, let's say you want to be into fashion or something, maybe in the sports field. Go and work at a smaller startup business in that industry, right? So like kind of put the pieces together yourself versus always only listening to people say, hey, like you majored in finance, maybe you should try accounting, maybe you should try this. Those are valid points, but what is the basis off of? So I base my direction on the things that make sense to me, and I try it out. If it continues to make sense, I keep going down that path. If it doesn't make sense anymore, I pivot. I turn right, you know, or turn left as if I'm on like a GPS. So questions I would suggest to ask yourself. Number one, which matters more right now? So present day speaking, let's say you're out of college right now. What matters more right now, money or enjoyment? Sometimes money is more important. That means you must have a conversation with yourself about sucking it up and sitting in this job for the next 6 months because you know you're strapped and you know you need the cash, right? So there are times where we have to suffer for that. And there are times where you like, right? Like you can do that for 2 years. You can do that for 6 months. You can do that for 3 months. But write that intention as you're going into your day-to-day job and as you are applying for the job, right? Other things to consider. Do I like this remote vibe or do I prefer in office part-time or full-time? Ask yourself those things because then it's like shopping. When you're shopping for shoes, you know, whether you like black or white or pink shoes or you want the heels or a 2-inch heel versus a 4-inch heel, that is literally how I approached a lot of things in my life, but especially like in the career field, I narrowed it down and filtered it down just like that. And so, for example, if you like fully remote, I can think of like my older brother, I know he only likes fully remote. So, you know, let's say a company that's suggesting to go back into office part-time, he might be like, all right, like that's out of alignment with me because he has a strong preference for remote. Then he might switch companies that will offer full remote capabilities, right? Vice versa. Someone that prefers hybrid, you know, maybe look for a company then that offers 2 days a week remote, 3 days a week in office, or vice versa. Some of the preferences might not be extremely important to you, right? But then I would say narrow down what's extremely important. Like just like when you're shopping, if I'm looking for a nude heel, the nude color is a non-negotiable. That's the most important, right? So rank the priorities in order and have that conversation with yourself. Other questions I would say, like, do I like to sit at the desk mostly or do I like to be on my feet and talking to people? When I worked at my corporate job at ADP, I was on my feet. I was in an outside sales role. So I was in the office. I was dressing up. I was talking to people. I wasn't really sitting at my computer most of the day, which I loved. And again, that's what I loved about my corporate job. And to be fair, I actually bring that kind of element into my current, you know, entrepreneur life. I like to be on my feet. I like to be podcasting and, you know, doing different things and talking to people and meeting different people and having a little bit more dynamic movement in my week to week life versus, you know, sitting at the desk all the time and kind of having extreme structure. Like I would say I'm more of an artist, you know, entrepreneur versus a logical tech entrepreneur.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Another question, last one would be, what time do I prefer to start the day? 9 a.m. and onwards, or really early, like 7 a.m.? So I don't know specific fields. I believe like certain finance jobs actually start at 7 a.m. You know, other jobs like tech tend to start a little bit later, like 9 a.m. or even 10 a.m. So these things help you once again narrow down the direction. And you know, I don't know how many people out there will advise you to ask these types of questions to narrow down what you want to do, but it's funny because these are the things that actually make us enjoy or not enjoy a job. It's actually the lifestyle components of a job that we rarely pay attention to, especially in college. We're always paying attention to credentials and is it in sports? Is it in marketing? It's like using these words that we're so accustomed to versus asking about what does a day-to-day look and feel like? And is that something I want to experience? Or is that something I've experienced before and I really liked or I really didn't like? Okay, next sector would be personal finance. Easiest tip I can say, invest sooner than later. So if you are in the States and you're working at a company here, most of the time your employer offers a 401k. And my best advice is to max it out and take advantage of the employer match, okay? It is just, I'm not gonna elaborate on it. I'm not an expert in personal finance, but I do know what has worked for me. And I will be a little braggy here and acknowledge that I do know a lot more than the average 20-some-year-old when it comes to personal finance and being savvy with money and spending and all of that. And so that leads me to my next point. If you have remaining money after, you know, your salary and then putting that into your 401k and then putting into your savings and whatever, I would highly recommend to look into a Roth IRA, which you would start on your own. And once again, do your own research. I personally invest in index funds, and one of them is a target date index fund or target index fund, which is super simple because all you do is you select the year that you intend to retire by, a target date index fund. And you know, I'm not going to go into details, but I will say I learned a lot from reading the book I Will Teach You to Be Rich by Ramit Sethi. He has been on various podcasts as well, and I really love his simple outline and guideline on how you can just kickstart your personal finance and get yourself into a better position for wealth building. 100% recommend this book. Once again, that's I Will Teach You to Be Rich by Ramit Sethi. He also shared in that book that I read, and I believe I read this 2 or 3 years ago, so I took a lot of this advice, but he mentioned high yield savings accounts. And so that's exactly what I did. I took my old savings account from Wells Fargo and I moved it into a Capital One high yield savings account. And high yield savings, the difference in a normal or regular basic savings account is that high yield, in simple terms, actually pays you interest for having the money in there, right? So I believe mine from Capital One right now is 5%. APY. So just again, look into it, do your own research. I'm just plugging things for you to, you know, write down on your iPhone or Google this at your own. But an easier, once again, guideline is from the book I Will Teach You to Be Rich. I wish I could be getting, you know, credit for promoting his book. But I really find that if you're a beginner or you're novice at this, look into that book. Other things I can share on the personal savings side, I wouldn't do more than 3x or like 3 months of cost of living in my savings. So for example, if my cost of living in total was $3,000 a month, I would not put more than technically $9,000, but I just wouldn't put more than $10,000 in cash in my high yield savings because it's just pointless. I could be growing that money, and I would, so therefore I would cut it off at, you know, let's say 9,000, and I would put the rest in long-term investments. And, you know, it's this cash, this runway is meant to be just a nice cushion for if anything happens. It's important to have. It does take a while to build, so figure out the best formula for you on like what percentage of your income you're going to put in to this high yield savings and how you can grow it over time. Lastly, on personal finance, learn how to be savvy with credit cards, especially if you have zero personal debt and you know you're reliable with maxing out on points, cash back, things like that. Personally, I would recommend looking into the different Chase cards, and if you're super savvy, then Amex is great. I will be transparent. I use an Amex business card. It's a platinum business card, and so I use that for my business expenses, obviously like business dinners and meals, things like that. And that card specifically is super savvy for traveling, and I obviously travel a lot, so that's a really great benefit for me. For a card when it comes to just cash back, I love just a simple Apple MasterCard. It's super easy. Pretty sure you can apply from your Apple wallet. A beginner's card, like the Amazon Prime Visa is really nice, especially if you spend a lot on Amazon or Whole Foods. I know that also has zero international fee, so that's one of the things I loved about that card when I started traveling in my earlier years. I believe the Apple MasterCard also has zero international fee. Just becoming savvy with it. I'm not saying to have a bunch, okay? But like if you really are already pretty savvy, then it's time to upgrade to better credit cards, because you could just be getting a lot more for your money and for the points than just using the same credit card for the same purchases. But then again, if it's overwhelming for you to separate the cards and like how you spend it, then it's probably better to use only one card. But I'll say this too, I also actually use a credit card from Bilt, B-I-L-T, to pay rent. I told this on a separate episode before, but with this card, it's super savvy because I actually don't use any credit per se to pay for my rent. It's actually just directly connected to an account. So it pulls out the cash like it would for a debit card. So that for me is a really nice perk. And so, yeah, I'm not going to explain how Bilt card works, but I am not paying technically on a credit card. I'm technically paying still through my bank account, but it's processed quote unquote through the credit card, which enables me to earn points, especially for travel. Into the third one, which is friendships. My biggest tip on this one, I've definitely had my own different ups and downs in friendships and losses, and I wouldn't say losses, but rather just friendships that fade, which is very natural in your 20s, right? But biggest thing I can say is invest in them. You know, my longest friendship, I would say, is probably with my middle school best friend. You know, we'll talk like once a year, but, you know, just she recently had a baby. And so we're in different phases of life, but we've been friends since we were 12, and just watering throughout the years, messaging, you know, audio notes, things like that has really watered the friendship. I would say with other friendships, it's just I'm very adamant about reaching out, FaceTiming, giving them a call, telling them I'm thinking of them. I do that frequently. I'm not afraid to be the first one to say so. And I know that sometimes I've heard people say they're afraid to be the one that invests more or makes the first move or whatever. Just remember, you guys, you will always be gaining when you're the one taking initiative, right? You can leave non-aligned friendships if they no longer align. I remember I had a friend from college who was older than me and, you know, just jealous of me as well in certain ways that I never could quite understand, except recognizing that it's just an insecurity that is not my responsibility to resolve. And, you know, to no surprise, this person is no longer friends with any of our mutual friends either. And it's okay, you know, like we were close for at some point in our life, and, you know, time has moved on, and that's part of life in your 20s. But you invest in the people, and the right people will reinvest in you too, you know. So don't be afraid to make that first move and, you know, make plans with your friends, right? One of my best friends lives in, or two of my best friends, actually, they live in Texas. And I'm thinking about right now making a trip out there for like a week in the summer and, you know, seeing both of them separately. And that's something that I just keep in mind in terms of watering friendship, you know, but FaceTiming and trying to do that randomly or scheduling it, however that works. It's crazy how just being able to digitally connect can make you feel so close to these people. So just invest in the people that you really love and cherish. And also don't be afraid to step away if the people or the person just no longer fits in your life. My last tidbit will be on romance. My favorite piece of advice or statement I heard when I was really young, I was in college in my sorority, I was a junior, and I remember this girl, her name is Summer. It was like the senior send-off where the seniors in the sorority are like saying their words of wisdom and all that. And I will never forget when this girl, she, you know, is giving her spiel, and she said, you know, her mom always said this to her when she was young, and she would tell this to us: if he wants to be with you, he will be with you. And I will never forget like the smirk on my face, and then just seeing how everyone just, you know, in the room just got really loud and like blew up and was like cheering and everyone was clapping. And like, I fucking love that. Like seeing and feeling females just really back each other up on that one. And, you know, we've all been there in terms of different guys that didn't give us the right time and energy and all of that. And so, you know, I remember looking back at the beginning of my current relationship, he was very adamant about not wanting to do long distance. He actually told me, he said, I'm never gonna do long distance. That's just like a hard rule for me. And I was like, okay. I look back and I'm grateful that I've been able to mature to that point and at that point, but it didn't make me feel any type of way. You know, I've never been afraid to give my all for something that I'm interested in. And at the same time, I've never been afraid to walk away. And it's a power move. And it's also kind of, I don't want to say a curse, but just part of who I am, in the sense that I can be kind of ruthless like that. So, you know, if a guy doesn't want to continue something with me because he claims that long distance is too hard, you know what? That's not true. I mean, it's like that's the reason he's going to externally say, but there's other reasons. There's other insecurities, right? There's going to be a multitude of things. And that is not my problem. That's not my problem to solve. And I've always been the type of person like to leave it all on the table. So for me, even after he said that, I wasn't afraid to come back to Medellin. And I spent the summer there. And I also knew I was going to go back to New York by the time fall comes around. And I was very okay if he didn't want to continue it. And it's probably easy to say sitting here because I've had different dating experiences where I've had people pursue me, people, you know, want to fly to me or whatever, right? So I was never afraid because maybe I have already seen that there are men out there that, like the saying, if he wants to be with you, he will be with you. I've seen and experienced that. So I wasn't afraid if he wasn't going to be like that either, if that makes sense. You know, I think about another thing too, a note here I wrote. You know, if a guy screws up, in my book, he only has one chance. And let me be explicit about an example. I remember I was talking to a guy years back, and I think at the time that was probably a love bombing experience, and could only say that in retrospect, but I liked him a lot. And long story short, I remember we had seen each other, it was like a Friday or something, and then the next day was a Saturday, and we had plans to get lunch. And I had seen him again the day before, and Saturday rolls around, it's like 11 a.m. He hasn't said anything, so I text him and I'm like, hey, like, you know, are we still grabbing lunch? He read it. There was no response. And I was younger, and I was just like, oh, like, you know, I was a little hurt by that. And so I followed up, actually. I followed up a couple hours later, and I was like, hey, are we still grabbing lunch? And I just remember it impacted me emotionally so much. I don't know why. I was just so stunned, I think, by all that love and affection I had gotten in, you know, a span of probably like 2 months, and then suddenly, like, boom, just evaporated. I was really stunned. And at the time, I wasn't living in New York yet, but I was visiting New York, and I was about to move to New York in 3 weeks. So the next day, I flew back to LA, which was, you know, my schedule. And then I moved to New York. I arrived, and I remember I was, like, still thinking about him. I felt really unresolved. I also felt a feeling that he would return somehow. And I decided, because I couldn't keep dealing with that feeling, I decided to text him. And I also had the conversation with myself that this would be the last time I would text him. So I texted him, and I was, you know, again, knowing that, hey, if he doesn't respond, leave it in the past. He's done for good. This is what I mean by, if he fucks up, he only has one chance. That's his last shot. So that was his last shot. I texted him, you know, a month later. I'm just like, hey, how are you doing? You know, like how have things been? Very simple, very straightforward. He read it, because he has red receipts on, and then no response. So that was like September of 2021. I was like, all right, like, thank you. I have my closure. Like, that was my own closure. Lo and behold, I think 9 months later, he texts me. I was like, oh my goodness, you're so immature, you know? And then he followed up like a month later, because I didn't respond. And then he followed up for a third time a month later again, so a month apart. I ended up talking to him, and I just told him, hey, I get it, you're reaching out, but the way you handle things, especially at your age, he was in his 30s, just was really immature, really hurtful in a way, but I don't expect anything from you. And I just basically told him, like, that's it. Like, you showed me your true colors. I gave you another chance even after you more or less ghosted me, and I still reached back out, but this is where the line is drawn. I will not re-engage with you. So that's what I mean, you know, learn to get to that point. It took a while for me, but in the sense, I mean, I don't know about a while, but I knew I had that by the time I was 24. Really grateful for that. I think this ties into my next note on romance, is choosing people who share the same values, as they will make similar decisions as you. So I noticed that when I've dated, especially like Americans versus foreigners, but especially, you know, I've dated a lot of Europeans, and there's a lot of similar values in that sense, a lot of different similar views. And I shared this on a different episode before, but, you know, if you don't feel appreciated where you are, there's a good chance you're in the wrong room. And I noticed that when I was dating guys from other countries, you know, Italy, Eastern Europe, all over, I noticed that there was, I mean, more alignment. I think, for example, I dress in a very stylish way, or so I like to think. And I noticed there was a lot more appreciation for that, a lot more compliments and like comments on like the specific style, because it often came from their culture. Let's say in France, like, I dress in a very Parisian way. And so it's just more appreciated. Like, men who grew up in France or Italy, that's what they're accustomed to, right? So they appreciate seeing that more. And so I think that's the same thing with religion, with Christians, or, you know, if you have a Jewish background, people with these backgrounds will often share more similar views and values. And that's something to really be mindful of when it comes to dating and just choosing people that won't waste your time. But again, I'm not saying like it's okay just because they're Christian, they won't waste your time, you know, but finding these small things that are important to you. Don't waste too much time on someone you know isn't a long-term fit. I have a great friend that does this. I'm pretty sure, like, if she goes on a first date and she doesn't feel it, she just won't re-engage for a second date. And I think that's really healthy and awesome, because I've seen people still re-engage on a second date that they knew wasn't worth it after the first. So something to keep in mind. I remember, once again, years back, I was dating someone and kind of like talking for probably a span of 6 months. And by the fourth time, I just realized that we didn't have lifestyle compatibility. You know, we dressed differently. He likes different things, and everything else was great though. But that in itself was huge to me, like lifestyle. And I just was like, oh, there's no long-term fit here. And even though there was kind of a fun joy in spending time with him, I knew I wasn't gonna, you know, marry the guy. I wasn't gonna date him. And while one perspective is, oh, well, you can just have fun, right? There's levels to it. I've had a lot of fun for sure. I've had my fair share of fun. And I wasn't not having fun at that point in my life, but I recognized that there was a cognitive dissonance with doing something like, okay, let's say I'm going to go spend time with that guy, knowing that this was just going to end, knowing that there was no intention or purpose behind it. So it doesn't have to be that everything is for a long-term relationship, but I do think it's important to be mindful of where you put your energy, right? You know, it could be more fun to be, quote-unquote, having fun with a guy that could end up as your long-term partner. You know what I mean? So I definitely am glad that I just was like, I stopped myself from doing the easy thing, which would have been just to hang out with him because I enjoyed it. But I just knew, I was like, I can't do this. Like, you know, it doesn't make sense. And that's funny too, because it's coming from someone that, you know, I was never in a rush to get married. I'm still not in a rush, not in a rush to have kids. Like, I certainly have always, since a young age, since I was in my early 20s, I always said that I was going to, you know, probably get married after 30 and also probably definitely have kids after 30. And I've always been very content with that. That hasn't really changed. And I'm grateful for that in the sense that I've seen what it does for people when they're on a rush in a certain timeline. I've never been in a rush on timelines. I've just been luckily very present with, hey, I'm going to enjoy where I'm at in this life. You know, and if it happens before 30 and it really, really fits, I'll do it too. You know, I'm not too attached to one or the other. Another interesting tip I would share is paying attention to someone's temperament. So temperament is, I'm not going to define it correctly, but in my own words, let's say a guy who kind of gets angry quickly or gets riled up quickly, they have a little bit more of an angry temperament, whereas someone's like stoic and calm and it takes a long time for them to raise their voice and everything, they're more gentle usually. So I'll tell you, you know, having dated people from, you know, different parts of the spectrum on that, I know that I get along really well with someone that's stoic, someone that's gentle and thoughtful, because I know how I react to someone that's gentle and thoughtful. It's interesting because I heard a guy say to me before that his fear is if he's like that the woman walks over him. And I think it depends on the woman you have, but I noticed that I don't respond well to a guy that's like trying to, you know, be super alpha in the conversation, because it just doesn't mesh well with me. Whereas interestingly, when a man shows a gentle temperament and calmness and stoicism and, you know, knows how to hold his fuse if he has one, to me that's a sign of maturity. And then I naturally in response, like, I respect it more. I'm more calm towards them. I'm like, hey, I respect you because you're holding that animal instinct in, or, you know, you've contained it in your own practices. So pay attention to that, because sometimes that could be one of the reasons why it's hard to work out with someone, because they got everything. But like, I can actually think of a good friend of mine. She once dated a guy where there's a lot of things in alignment, but he had a bit of anger. And that was just too hard for her to overcome. I mean, it's just too hard for them to work through. And so that was one of the core reasons they broke up, because like, she just couldn't deal with kind of that dark, slightly angry energy. And I call that kind of just like an anger-leaning temperament. Lastly, especially if you are in your 20s, this one, you know, I have to say I'm grateful, and yeah, just grateful that I've never experienced this, but I know that it also is out there, and what I'm referencing is cheating. And you know, I've been very lucky. I don't know how, in what way, and how this, what specifically shaped me in this way, but I've always been extremely black and white with having fun and dating around, you know, doing my thing, and then being in a relationship. I've only ever been in 3 relationships. My first one ended up being about 4 years. We lived together. We had a dog together. My second one was a little bit shorter. It was probably a total of like six. I mean, it's complicated, but it lasted, I want to say, like in a span of, I don't know, more or less like 8 months to 16 months. I don't know if I'm going to explain that one well, but now I'm in my third one. And all that to say, you know, I, in between when I was, you know, I had 3 years of being single from 22 to 25, and I was dating around, I had my fun, and I always knew that, okay, if I want to commit to someone, I knew it was like a big deal because that means I'm saying I don't have interest for other people. I'm not curious for another guy. I'm not curious to see what else is out there, right? I'm very mindful of that because to me, it's just a respect thing. It's like if you can't fully commit to someone and offer them that promise that comes with the territory of being in a committed relationship, then don't, you know? Because I wouldn't want someone to commit to a relationship with me, I don't know, because of whatever reason, and still be looking around or still be kind of down to sleep with other people. I'm not saying that I can't speak for people, let's say, when it's in marriage and that happens, right? I'm not speaking about that. I'm speaking about relationships in your 20s, especially when you're young and like there's a lot of different moving pieces. Don't put up with someone that cheats on you. You deserve better. And there is someone out there that would rather excuse this because it's going to be a little savage, but I know there's guys out there that would verbatim, they've said this, they would rather chop their dick off than cheat on a woman. So remember that there are people out there that really value loyalty. And, you know, I'll say this. It's funny, like my first boyfriend, and this might have been instilled because of him, he shared with me he would rather get kicked in the face multiple times with someone wearing soccer cleats than to ever be cheated on. And I think that's, you know, I was 18 or 19 when we started dating, so that probably instilled in me just how hurtful that is to do something like that to someone. And then, you know, my last partner, he was born in the Soviet Union, and I've kind of learned with maturity and age how these different life experiences, like for him growing up in the Soviet Union and communism and loyalty in Russia, it runs so much deeper than it does here in the US, something that he's shared, something I've heard from other people, because a lot of times like loyalty in other countries, especially countries that have experienced a lot of trauma and war and whatnot, it's often life or death. And so I've noticed people who, let's say, come from those backgrounds also treat loyalty with more seriousness. And so I share that because I want to reemphasize there are people out there that just will never do that. And I'll share this one last thing too. One of my best guy friends, his best friend was who's from the UK, was sharing with me, because I asked him about it. I often like to ask around just to see, like, do I have a biased opinion? Am I thinking of this in a way that's just clearly better for me? And maybe there's an actual different response coming from men. But I asked my best friend's roommate, and he said that he learned from a young age, perhaps influenced by his dad, but even when he was 13 or 14 and he was dating a girl and he realized he started to like a different girl, he, before he would pursue the other girl, he ended the relationship with his current one, or, you know, at the time, before proceeding to pursue the girl that he liked. And I think it was actually, yeah, once again, like, influenced by his dad. I think his dad told him, hey, like, if you're going to do that, you gotta end that one first. And so there are people out there that have these principles instilled in them. They're taught from a young age, like, that's not what you fucking do, right? So it's nice. It's a bonus when the guy has a male role model that taught them those things, the gentleman qualities. So you know, do as you please, but just always remember that there are people out there, more specifically, there are men out there that wouldn't treat you like that, that would treat you like a queen, that will hold you dearly in their heart, and it would make them sick to even do something like that. So if you ever experience that, I hope you find the strength to walk away and just remember, you know, like women out there, like we're here for one another. And I'll say this, when it comes to like cheating and whatnot, you know, I hope for my fellow girls out there, because I'm very adamant about this too, you know, if I was single and a guy was, you know, coming on to me or whatever, and I knew that he had a girlfriend, or I learned that he had a girlfriend or whatever, I just would not engage. And girls, some girls will be like, well, it's not my fault, or it's like he's responsible. Yes, we get it. Like, yes, there's a different deep-rooted issue there, but be a girl's girl, be a woman's woman, you know? Do you want another woman to do that? Like, if she had the opportunity to sleep with your man and she knew that he was taken, right? Because we all have a choice. We have a choice in that moment. So if you have that knowledge in that moment, think about what you would want if roles were reversed. If you were, you know, the girlfriend at home, or God forbid, like the wife at home, you know. I'm very mindful of that. I do think there's an element of karma that I believe in too. Just hoping that, hey, if you can somehow be an angel for another person, like one day it just rolls around. But regardless, like whether that, you know, like hopefully I would never need that, but just do the right thing and take accountability for your own actions. All right, so that was all for today's episode, my version of a mini life guide on career, personal finance, friendships, and romance. If you enjoyed this episode, please be sure to share this with a friend in your group chats or on your Instagram story. If you post on your story, tag the podcast Instagram at What Fulfills You and at Emily E. Duong. All of it is linked in the show notes. And for the best-selling card game and all of the fun What Fulfills You merch, you can find that at whatfulfillsyou.com. Thanks again for tuning in today. I will chat with you all in the next episode.